Welcome back. Well, with the fall season upon us, and next week being National Fire Prevention Week, actually, we thought we'd invite our friends at the National Fire Protection Association here in Quincy to stop by and tell us a little bit about ways for you to stay safe and what will be happening, especially for next week. So Susan McKelvey agreed. Good to see you again, Susan.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
NFPA here in Quincy for, what, 100 years or so?
More than 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you were kind of the professional standard for creating codes for fire safety, right?
Yep. NFPA develops more than 300 technical codes and standards for fire, electrical, and life safety. So we kind of say we're everywhere, but you just don't see us. So exit signs, even the number of windows and doors in your home, sprinkler systems, smoke alarms, everything, almost everything. Where we see, where we go, in our homes, outside, when we're out and about, there are codes and standards protecting all of us.
Yeah, and it's national, so you are doing this for the entire country. Fire departments look to you for these codes, fire inspectors as well, right, to make sure.
Yeah, contractors, installers, builders, I mean, facility managers, it runs the gamut. The National Electrical Code is used by every electrician in this company. You're required to follow it. And so all the lighting in, you know, us talking here today, the lights that are on us, the lights in people's home, all follow the National Electrical Code.
Yes.
Like I said, we're kind of everywhere in your lives, you just don't see it.
Yeah. And interestingly, you know, you wouldn't think, but these codes change all the time. You have to keep them updated all the time.
Yep.
There's a way for you electronically to check on those. These were available to the general public, right? They can check on these and see if their homes are meeting standards.
Yep. So NFP has an open consensus process,
right,
so anyone can participate. You can go online and find out where a code or standard is at in its cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So they're typically updated on a 3 to 5 year period.
Okay.
So you can just go online, see where it's at, and if you want to make a public input or comment, you are more than welcome to do so.
Sure, sure. And they, I mean, as technology changes, the codes have to change to adapt, right?
So we're seeing that's
that.
Right. There's always emerging technologies. Things are changing in our lives all the time.
Sure.
And the codes and standards work to meet that. A concern that we've had, we're seeing across the country,
mm-hmm.
is that jurisdictions don't always follow the latest edition of a code or standard.
Mm.
So they're not getting the latest information updates, safety requirements that ensure that the community is getting the best coverage that they need.
Interesting. So how do you address that? Is it kind of up to them to be proactive to make sure?
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
NFPA works with a lot of groups, organizations. It's really educating even people in government. A lot of
mm-hmm.
legislators don't really know how the codes and standards process works and really how safety is applied in this country. A lot of people think that the government create codes and standards.
Yeah.
That's not the case. It's private organizations like NFPA, not just NFPA, a lot of other organizations, but they all work to create these requirements that have done so much for decades to improve safety. So it's so important to continue using the latest codes and standards to ensure that we maintain that. The reason that we feel so safe, the reason we have the luxury of walking into buildings and assuming that everything is being taken
mm-hmm.
care of and done on our behalf to keep us safe is because those codes and standards have been placed for a very long time.
Yeah.
And if we start backing away from that, then we jeopardize our safety. And the scary thing is that by the time people see the impact of that, it would result in tragedy.
It's a tragedy. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's really important to sustain what we have. Again, it's not a happy accident that we're at where we're at. We're at where we're at for a reason.
Okay, so it's important for governments to stay up to date on those codes and standards so they can enforce them.
Absolutely. Jurisdictions, authorities having jurisdiction, the people that enforce codes, use the codes in our communities, that we really need to make sure that they're keeping up to date with all the information
Absolutely.
That is included in those codes and standards.
Yeah. It's fall. It's back to school time.
Yes.
for college kids, right?
Yep.
And I know that staying safe on campus is a concern, more for parents probably than students. But what is the NFPA doing to kind of help students stay safe when they're in dormitories, college classrooms, college campuses?
Yep. We work with organizations that promote campus safety each year, working to get that information out to college campuses because there are risks. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are living on their own for the first time,
right,
whether they're in dorms on campus or they're living in off-campus housing. And they really need to be aware that fires can and do happen. So simple things like making sure the smoke alarms are working.
Right.
If you're on campus in particular and there are fire drills, make sure you're listening to them, taking them seriously. If you use things like, a lot of times curling irons or flat irons, things for your hair, unplug them. Really be careful about using candles.
Yes.
If you want to use candles, it would be best to use battery operated candles and you eliminate the risk of a fire. But if you are going to use candles in your room, you really should actually follow. It might not even be allowed in dorms. So make sure you're
right.
following.
That's a key point.
Yeah, right. You're following the rules of the dorm, but also if you are allowed to use them, even if you're on off-campus housing, use them, really use them with caution and care.
That's probably where more of the concern is, the off-campus housing, right?
So yes, that's right. That's absolutely right.
The colleges, I would think, are right up to date with the safety standards.
Yeah, they absolutely are in most cases. But it's just more a matter of, it's everyone also needs to take
personal responsibility
for the
right.
things that they do.
Yeah.
But you're right. So when you're off campus, again, cooking probably for the first time on your own, cooking's a leading cause of home fire.
It is
by far. So you really have to be careful about what you're cooking on the stove and in the oven and be mindful of how long, something is cooking and to use timers, things like that. You really don't want to leave cooking unattended.
So cooking, the number one cause of home fires, period.
Yes.
Full stop.
Yes. About half of all home fires involve cooking equipment.
Is that right?
Yes.
What's
and the leading cause of home fires is unattended cooking.
Okay.
So it sounds so simple. A lot of times you are messaging around, keep a close eye on what you're cooking. You think of, of course, that's so simple. But the truth is we're all so distracted. We're so busy. We're phones and you're trying to do so many things at once.
If you've got young kids, that's a distraction.
Absolutely.
And pets is another one.
You're right. Yeah. So you lose focus and that's when issues happen.
Sure.
So it's really important to keep a close eye on what you're doing.
It takes absolutely no time, right, for a small fire to go into
absolutely,
something major.
Absolutely. But if you're there to monitor situation, you can mitigate it much more effectively.
Absolutely. What about smoking, Susan? Is that another issue?
Smoking is among the leading causes of fire, but it's not the top cause of fires, but it is a leading cause of home fire deaths.
Okay.
So they tend to be involved in more serious fires. So if you do smoke, make sure that you are carefully disposing of cigarette butts and that you're not smoking when you're sleepy. You want to make sure that you don't fall asleep. Sometimes cigarette butts can fall and land on furniture and that can cause a fire, so you really have to be mindful of the fact that they do cause fires and they can be quite serious.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it all leads back to what is a ubiquitous item now is the smoke detector, right? Or now the smoke and carbon monoxide detector.
Yeah, the smoke alarms, the great news is that most homes, we know from surveys that we and other organizations have done, that smoke alarms are in most homes. That's great, but the majority of home fire deaths that occur in the U.S. occur in homes where the smoke alarm has been either dismantled or it's not working properly. It might not have working batteries or the batteries may have been removed. So all those factors contribute to smoke alarms not working the way they ideally should to protect you in a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I believe it's this weekend we fall back an hour or sometime soon we fall back an hour. Traditionally, I know first responders like to remind folks that's a great time to replace your batteries
and
test your devices.
Yep, that's a long-standing campaign, change your clock, change your battery. So our messaging changed a little bit because a lot of smoke alarms now use 10-year batteries, so really it's more when your alarm starts to chirp.
Oh, okay.
Because that signals that something's not quite right. Oftentimes it just means you need to replace the battery, you can put a new one in, and you're all set. But it might not necessarily happen once a year, so it's more just a matter of monitoring and making sure that you have working batteries in your home. But it's always a good year if you have traditional batteries. A good rule of thumb would be to just make sure that they're replaced once a year.
Twice a year.
Whenever the alarm chirps to let you know that they're running low.
And test them, right?
Test them once a month, make sure they're working. Smoke alarms are as good as their functionality, so you have to make sure they're working properly.
Absolutely,
I
wanted to talk about Fire Prevention Week, National Fire Prevention Week, October 5th is when it kicks off, right?
That's right. It's the 5th through the 11th.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What's it all about?
So we're focusing, this is a kind of a shift away from our typical focus. Usually we'll focus on smoke alarms or escape planning or one of the leading causes of home fires. But this year, our theme is called Charge Into Fire Safety, lithium-ion batteries in your home. So lithium-ion batteries are everywhere. They charge so many of the devices
they're
we use.
In both of our pockets right now, probably.
Our smartphones, I mean, everything, electric toothbrushes, so many, power tools, everything. So, and they, by and large, they work very safely, but they do present potential fire risks, and we want people to be aware of them. We know, I'm sure you've seen in the news, there are stories of fires involving these types of batteries, so people really have to know how to use them properly and make sure that when they're going to be getting rid of a device for whatever reason that includes them, that they do so safely.
Yep, so recycle them properly.
Exactly.
And also, I know that you make a point to use proper charging cords, proper materials to charge your device on.
Yep. You want to make sure that you're using products that have been tested to established safety levels.
Yes.
So, you can, if there are a lot of products on the market that aren't, that don't meet those standards, and they present increased risk.
Yeah.
So you really want to make sure you're buying from someplace that has done the work to make sure that you have a safe product. And then if you are buying chargers for a phone, let's say, make sure that it's either a charger produced by the manufacturer or a charger that the manufacturer has approved. So you really want to read the instructions carefully. That's where you'll get the guidance on what will work best.
Yeah. Is it still looking for the UL listed testing?
UL is one.
There
there are several, but UL is one of the independent testing laboratories that you can look for a mark like
that. Okay, so charge into safety.
Charge into safety, yes, because you really want to make sure, again, that you can use these products safely, but they do present potential risks, so
there's,
you have to be careful.
The graphic you're showing there for lithium-ion batteries in your home. So buy only listed products, charge devices safely, recycle batteries responsibly, which is key, right?
Yes, yes.
Don't
you don't want to just throw them in the trash.
Right.
So there's a website, Recycled Safety, and you can check how in your community where there might be an opportunity. And you can always call your local fire department and ask for their recommendations as well. They'll be able to help you.
Yeah, I know a lot of the big box home improvement stores have the bins right in the lobby there when you walk in to recycle those properly as well.
Exactly.
But they are a concern. I know that fire departments train specifically on how to deal with fires caused by lithium-ion batteries. That the intensity is so severe that they need special equipment.
They can be really serious fires and explosions that are very dangerous, almost instantly. In New York City, there was a big spike in the number of e-bike and e-scooter fires in recent years, and it just reflects how dangerous they can be.
Yep. And charge them on a hard surface, right?
Yes,
like
right.
A glass top table or
I've had to tell my sons, don't put it on your bed.
Right.
You know, you've got to keep it on a hard surface where it can stay cool.
Yep, it gets hot.
Yep,
and
that can cause a fire.
At least it's on a non-flammable surface, right?
Exactly.
All these things to think about.
Now I know all these new emerging
technology advances.
Yeah.
So will the NFPA be kind of out and about with this new Charge Into Safety campaign?
At its core, Fire Prevention Week is a grassroots campaign.
Yes.
So we really rely on local fire departments and safety advocates to bring the campaign to life in their community, and they do. They do wonderful work. They go into schools, they reach out to the community, all sorts of programs. NFPA has a program with Domino's. We're in our 18th year now. It's actually a smoke alarm program, but it's done in coordination with Fire Prevention Week, where Domino's restaurants team up with their local fire department and they do random smoke alarm checks.
Okay.
So if someone calls in to place an order, they'll ask, would you like to have your smoke alarms checked? And if they're working, you get a free pizza.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And it's really fun, and the program's grown year over year. It's a great way of getting people engaged in fire safety, but in a really, like, fun way. And it's been a great program working with Domino's.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Get a pizza and get your detector checked.
Exactly. And if not, and if they're not working, then the fire department will provide the replacement batteries
okay.
or alarm if needed.
I know here in Quincy, the fire department works with senior citizens every once a year at least to install new smoke detectors in their homes as well.
Exactly. Yeah. There are a lot of great programs like that out there.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit? I know it doesn't feel like it right now. It's going to be 80 degrees the next couple of days, but soon we'll be turning heating systems on, and there are inevitably issues that come with that.
Yeah, so heating is the second leading cause of home fires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you really want to make sure that your heating systems are good working order. Actually, now's a good time to do it before the
before
the season begins. But you do want to make sure that they're in good working order if you are going to be planning to use portable space heaters.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big area of concern.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that they're in good working condition, no frayed or cracked wires, all the knobs or buttons that are on the device work properly.
Don't use extension cords with those.
You don't want to use extension cords with those, and you want to make sure they're at least 3 feet from anything that can burn. So just make sure you plan, you know, in the months ahead to have a safe place to use them.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know that you like to talk about safety tips at home, especially an evacuation plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the time, right?
It really is. Yeah. And any time is the time, really.
Yeah.
But it's so important. So, you know, home fires today burn faster than ever. So you used to have up to 17 minutes to escape a home fire from the time the smoke alarm sounds, and that's gone down to like 2 minutes.
Okay. 17 minutes to 2 minutes.
Yeah, there was a study done several years ago that showed what a vast difference there is between older fires in homes from years ago and today. And there's a lot of factors that contribute to that. But the point is, if your smoke alarm sounds, you have a very small window of time to get out safely.
Okay.
And so you don't want to squander that precious time figuring out what to do, especially if you have multiple people in your home or if you have young children or other, maybe an older adult lives in your home or someone who needs added assistance. It's too late to start making a plan when the alarm sounds. So you really have to plan in advance. It's in the same way I was saying with cooking. It sounds so simple, you know, keep an eye on where you're cooking, make a plan. You think, well, I know what to do. But in a panicked situation, it's a situation you've never been in before.
You don't think clearly.
You're not, and it may be at night, you can't see, so you really, you know, it's dark. So you have to really have a plan in place so that everyone knows what they're doing, a meeting place outside, in front of your home, knowing to call the fire department from if you can grab a cell phone on the way out or from a neighbor's phone, and then to never go back inside the burning building. Yeah.
NFPA.org for the National Fire Protection Association, or FPW for Fire Prevention.
Yes, we have a bunch of information on lithium-ion batteries at FPW.org, but at NFPA.org, we have a wealth of information and resources for people as well.
Thank you so much, Susan. Great to see you.
You too. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Have a safe fire season.
Same to you.